Today in the studio is like no other because I have a real treat for you today. Coach Chris Gieseking.
That's right.
Chris Gieseking, folks, is an Iraq war veteran, former Army Ranger, health and fitness professional for years, like all the degrees and whatnot. Lifelong athlete, rugby player, American Ninja Warrior, and a pretty damn good snowboarder.
I like to shred.
Is that just part of your upbringing, being athletic?
It's like my new thing.
You got to get up on that mic.
It's not even my new thing. It's been a thing for a while. It actually was the healing factor after I got back from Iraq. Snowboarding, I'm like being in the mountains are calling. I'll get up in there.
You slide that thing over.
All right.
I don't know why you would think a microphone would pick up noise even if you're near it.
Well, I mean, how close do I need to be?
I have no clue.
Well, I'll be up in here.
It's a trial the last couple of weeks here with the audios.
That's okay.
But listen, I like snowboarding. I don't necessarily think it's therapeutic. My knees start freaking shaking. My legs start hurting. Yeah. What do you mean therapy?
It's the mountains. The mountains heal.
You just like being up there?
Yeah. I mean.
So you went to the war in Iraq. How old were you?
I was 27, 28.
How old are you now?
I'm 44.
Are you 100% thankful that you were there? Even though it must have been crazy.
I would not change a thing.
So, because again, I mean, to me, if I ever got caught in a war like that, the lessons you learn and the relationships you forge and the experience you get from being in a freaking real ass war.
Well, the thing is, I was a civilian. I was in the National Guard. I was a personal trainer at a Lifetime Fitness in Eagan, Minnesota. And we got the call to go to Iraq, and we had a 6-month train up in Camp Shelby, Mississippi. And this is right after Katrina.
Is this where you were becoming a Ranger?
No, this is after. I didn't even go to Ranger school until I got back from Iraq and was like, I was on defensive missions in Iraq. We did convoys. And
just driving shit
around? Yeah, we basically hauled anything and everything.
Weren't you worried about IUDs or EUD? What is it?
Yeah, I got rocked by a few.
Is it? It's not IUD. That's the
IEDs.
IEDs.
IEDs. And, you know, I was there for 22 months, 22-month deployment. And it was like a second home after a while. I spent time down in the south of Iraq. I was in and around Baghdad.
How were the people?
You know what? It was just mostly me and my boys, honestly.
But I mean, weren't you afraid, like, you know, you could just get all of a sudden ambushed?
Every single time, every single time you leave the gate, you better have your head locked and loaded. I mean, it's on. Once you leave the gate, it's on. On those bases, I mean, other than getting mortared, rocketed, which happens, outside of the gate is really where the war was. Inside of the gate, it was kind of like there was Burger Kings and shit.
So which one were you first? In the Army, an Army Ranger, or a lifelong athlete?
I was in college, joined the National Guard, wanted to do the college thing, and then 9/11 happened.
But what made you join the National Guard?
I've always wanted to be a soldier. I always wanted to be a soldier, and this was a way of doing, well, I was an athlete. I was a rugby player. And
why rugby? Like, you're not huge.
Oh, but you got to understand that rugby is a diverse sport where there's small guys, big guys, and I played a position, scrum half, and positions where you needed to be small. You need to be like this guy that is like, I'm the ankle biter. I'll you know, it doesn't matter how big you are. You got a set of knees.
When I think of rugby, all I see is big people in my head.
Look again at the guy.
I'm not really into rugby. I'm going to go check it out, though. I know it's getting way more popular nowadays.
Oh, my God.
Here in America. Yeah, it's always been popular outside of America.
One of my good buddies is was a professional rugby player for the United States, traveled all over the world for almost 20 years. And I'll tell you, it's a very physical sport, but it's not as rough as people think it is. It's actually, I mean, no one has pads on. So like American football, you got weapons, and that's called a helmet. So it's more of a sport of finesse. Yeah.
Have you ever played the New Zealand team, All Blacks?
Oh, the All Blacks. I went down to New Zealand. I saw them play.
Dude, they got the best opening ever.
Oh my God, that little the dance, the haka dance. It's unbelievable. They're like, when you see that live,
that's marketing.
It gives you goosebumps. They do it.
But I mean, like, that's what would make me go see. Like, if I saw two rugby teams playing, I'd be like, big deal. But as soon as someone said it's the All Blacks against whomever, I'd be like, I want to go to that. Why? Because I want to see those guys go that.
It's pretty badass to watch live. It's entertaining. Rugby takes on its own dimension. I mean, it is a social sport. I mean, especially in college, it's like kind of like a beer drinking thing. But I played for a national championship, University of Northern Iowa.
Do you still play, senior leagues or not senior?
You know what?
Like, kid leagues.
It's called old boys. The old boys. And
you still play old boy rugby?
I won't do it. It's literally a knee or a concussion or a shoulder. I'm just kind of retired.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I'll stick to snowboarding.
So real quick on the America Ninja Warrior, you just went and tried out for it? Or how do you decide you want to be one of those ninja warriors?
Well, I've always
been
a ninja. I mean, since I was a little kid, I was jumping out of haylofts and barns and jumping into trees and out of trees. And I've always been a little bit of a ninja. But it's kind of fake.
What do you mean?
It's so Hollywood. It is. Well, if you're on it, if you get on it, you got to send like a video just to get accepted. And then once you're on it, they film it like 2 a.m. and they have like fake people there clapping. And it's kind of Hollywood. The actual obstacles, that's real deal shit. You got to be like a rock climber type, very explosive, you know, your speed, agility, quickness type of thing. That has to be lock. But I fell on the 5th obstacle when I went down there. I never went again.
Dude, that sucks. So you got coach in your name rather than like, you know, sergeant or colonel or some other shit. So that means you're a civilian now.
Yep. Out of the military.
Yeah, you went out of the military, and then you spent 20 years as a health and fitness professional. You got a master's degree in human movement, precision nutrition certified, et cetera, et cetera. National Academy of Sports Medicine, master trainer. Like, what put you down that road?
Well, it's really, I didn't go to college to learn. I went there to party and play rugby. And
why else would you go?
Exactly. And at the end of my, you know, kind of money, it was like, all right, you need to pick something here. So I was already in a major called health promotion. And it was kind of just like everything all wrapped up into one. Well, at the end of that, I'm like, if I'm going to keep my athletic career, I need to learn as much as I can about staying healthy, moving as best I possibly can. Because I'm a small athlete, and especially rugby and all that. You need to learn how to heal. And I just got into corrective exercise. And how do you put yourself back together once you're all banged up? And that's the road I took. And it ended up being so useful when I'm in Ranger school, when I'm in the Army, when I'm helping out my platoon, I'm getting them in shape. I mean, it has a lot of benefits.
Do you notice I'm getting a little more svelte?
I have noticed even in your podcast that I listen to, it's like you're getting slimmer. Every podcast, getting a little bit more buff.
That's right. I've discovered the value of being in shape.
I think I can get you 1% better today on this podcast.
How?
Let's begin.
Let's begin.
Okay. So my method, the Health Compass method, is the 4 things that every human does. You eat, you think, you move, and you sleep. We do those 4 things. Those are the 4 pillars of health.
Hopefully, but yes.
Pretty much in a nutshell.
No, I mean, when you say we, us lucky ones.
Okay.
Okay, because some of them don't move, and some of them don't think.
Yes, well, we can change that.
Yes, we can.
And this is what this podcast is about, right? What's your line that you say? Get the information to
get the knowledge from the people who have it to the people who need it.
Exactly. So I'll do a little assessment with you right now, and we can see if we can put it into the template of Brad Lee, what you're doing right now.
Okay? Let's do it. Live demonstration, folks.
This is live. All right. Out of nutrition, exercise, wellness, and sleep, okay, the four pillars, what would you consider your most difficult topic matter?
Nutrition, exercise,
wellness. We'll call that the mindset.
Oh, I'm good with that shit.
I know it's going to rate pretty good, but on a scale of 1 to 5, how would you rate all of those?
And then what was the last one? Sleep.
Sleep. And I'm going to consider sleep also self-care.
Well, how many are there?
4. Nutrition, exercise, wellness, sleep.
So sleep, eat, / self-care.
Yeah. I mean,
okay,
it's,
good.
It's you got to take care of your
what
body.
Am I rating? My knowledge?
You're rating on a scale of 1 to 5.
How am I doing in each of these?
Exactly. 5 is your best. 1,
okay, on nutrition,
you're horrible.
On nutrition?
On nutrition.
5.
Oh.
On exercise? 5. On wellness? 5. On sleep? 2.
Holy cow. That's where we start. We start with sleep. We start with self-care.
Well, I started wearing an Oura ring.
I wear the Whoop.
I wear an Oura ring.
Which is their competition.
Well, I wear an Oura ring.
Yeah.
And it will tell me my reading. So if you're curious, ask me my readings and I don't know why.
Does it do a color code on each day of...
Yep.
Because that's what Whoop does.
It does. They're all the same, dude.
It's...
I just didn't want to say Whoop all the time.
I know.
I just said Oura. That sounds cool.
It just
cool.
seems like more of the athletes are choosing Whoop over...
I know, but again, I mean, I grew up in school almost a jock. I was really good, really fast, excelled at the sports I played.
Yeah.
But at one point in time, I just got into girls. I didn't have any parenting. I got into girls and extracurricular activities. So I just quit sports. So I didn't grow up a jock or an athlete. I was athletic and I did play up till about like 10th grade. But after that, I was like, dude, I got better shit to do than go play football or wrestle with a bunch of dudes. Like one time in wrestling, I went out and, as soon as I saw what you had to wear, I'm like,
I was a wrestler. I'm from Iowa.
As soon as you walk out in those onesies or whatever they are.
Yeah.
What are they called?
Singlets.
Yeah, singlets. That's a onesie. As soon as you walk out in your onesie, dude, it's like, oh my God. And then you got to go wrestle around with sweaty dudes. And personally, dude,
it was more
I don't
about
be
getting
sweat
a beating,
on.
Though.
Huh?
You're giving a beating to that guy, though. That was the
Not
mindset.
Not really. I was just writhing around in their sweat. It wasn't. To me, it's like, no, I ain't doing wrestling. And then basketball is pretty good, but
yeah.
I didn't like to guard people. So like, I would play offense like a son of a bitch, but when it came to defense, pass. And then one time, right in front of all the school, I stole the ball. I stole. You know how the schools used to watch the games?
Yeah.
So we're playing, I forget, and it's at Lincoln Junior High School, and I snatched the ball right out of some dude's hand, I snatched the ball from the other side, and I ran down, boom, did a layup, wrong side.
Oh, dude.
Dude, I got laughed
That's
at.
Embarrassing.
I got, oh, it was so embarrassing.
What grade were you in?
Like 7th. So I didn't play basketball anymore. Baseball, I either hit a home run or struck out. Mm-hmm. Football, I was fast as hell, hit like hell.
Yep.
And the last thing
what
I remember
position?
About football, I played either second or third string quarterback, depending on if Alan Gates was there.
You look like a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always wanted to be, but they'd always use this other kid named Alan. But they would put me at tight end, running back, I was fast as shit, dude, big time fast. But I remember at one point in time, I was just into girls and parties and whatnot. And my coach said something about doing laps or something. And I got smart mouthed him and he said, get the hell out of here. And I walked off and never came back.
That was it.
Yeah. So again, you were athletic, which means you were an athlete. You were a jock. You walked around with that. Like you said, you're whooping their ass.
Well, my brother was like the best athlete in high school.
I wish I would have been a fucking wrestler though. Cause dude, it seems like in MMA, the ones that wrestled and fought are always tougher than the ones that just fought. Like wrestling is a good skill to know if you're going to be in a fight.
I think it's good for just dude shit stuff. Like if you know how to handle yourself, like almost every fight that you're ever going to be in goes to the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're knocking out people in one punch, but a guy like me, I ain't going to knock you out. I'm going to take you to the ground. And then some bartender will come over and split it up.
You hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, nowadays it's best not to get in the fight.
Oh, I don't want to be anything near that.
Okay, so you were a jock. You were always in shape, right?
Yeah.
And then that just caused you to say, you know, fitness is cool. Like you decided at one point in time to make a career out of it.
Yeah.
Oh no, let me go back to this though, because I'll get back to the
personal training session.
Yeah, but remember, right? That's what I'm saying, because that's the most interesting. I want you to get me better, because you'll get the listeners better. Okay. And I like this nutrition, exercise, wellness, and sleep. I gave myself a 5, 5, 5, and a 2. Go.
Okay. This is where we would start with you. Sleep. We're going to start with sleep. We're going to figure out why. Now, what I would think about in helping you with your sleep is I would go, okay, what's causing some of the sleep disturbances?
Don't know.
Most likely it is high levels of stress.
And can I say something?
Yes.
I don't stress. Number one.
Okay.
Number two, the readings are excellent, just not long. Meaning, you know, 5.5 hours of sleep is usually what I get. I'll go to bed around 11 to 11:30, and I'll wake up at 5 to 5:30 almost every single day. So the numbers are good. Like it says like, you know, sleep quality.
Yeah.
You know, good.
Does it give you like your,
I can just show
REM.
You.
Yeah. Your REM and your deep sleep.
Yeah. What do you want to know?
See, those scores are, you know, valuable for you to look at, but really,
but they change a little bit from day to day.
Exactly.
Okay. So like for the month, my readiness score has only been 74. I know people that won't leave the house unless it's an 80. Is that pretty
average?
Yeah.
That's your average. Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I rated myself a 2, because dude, I don't get good sleep. I don't think I need it, but I don't get it.
Now your nutrition.
My resting heart rate on average, what do you think it is?
Resting heart rate's probably at like 60.
42.
Oh, wow. That's like Olympic.
People say, dude, that is like,
no, that's like Lance Armstrong shit.
Yeah. And then it says readiness score, good, 78. So my resting heart rate, awesome. HRA balance, whatever that is, body temperature, awesome.
Heart rate variability,
awesome. Then the sleep, you go to sleep, it says pay attention. Well, when you go to the sleep button, it says here, total sleep, 5 hours, 13 minutes, efficiency, 92%. Latency, 10 minutes, timing, optimal. Like everything's blue except total time. And then sometimes restfulness and deep sleep, but usually restfulness and deep sleep are all blue too. Now what?
Okay, we know that needs to improve, because you personally think it's a 2.
I would love to be able to sleep 8 hours. And because when you're asleep, that's good for your body.
Maybe you need to wind down a few more hours before you actually go to bed. What's that like?
Tell
me about that. Okay. Well, like, how can't you shut things down?
Just by the way, my daughter, she's 8 years old or 9 years old now. She's never napped her entire life.
You got some good genes.
It's just the weirdest thing, but she's never napped since she was a little baby. She is always awake. She'll stay up so many times. It's unbelievable.
She's going to be a go-getter.
But myself, I usually don't get even thinking about going to bed till about 10:30 or 11. Okay. Now, if I went to bed at 8 per se, I probably would fall asleep. The problem is I will wake up 5 hours later, because I've tried that.
Your body might just be telling you that's all you need.
That is. And dude, it's funny that you say that, because everyone says you do. And I say, dude, I listen to my body. When my body wakes up, it must be ready to go.
Well, as you age, you need less sleep. And that's not like the thing, but it is, most older people are sleeping less.
Okay, so how do I raise that to a 5? Because otherwise I'd be perfect. You want to question me on my nutrition?
Well,
ask me some questions.
You see, your numbers are so good. Your heart rate and all these numbers of strain and stress, they're so good. So maybe what we need to do is take a look at, out of those 5s, what would you consider the lowest 5? We had to do like a grading scale, like A plus or B plus,
honestly,
would it be,
bro,
a 5+ or 5- type of thing?
Dude, I'd say that's nitpicking.
Well, this is where we come into the details. This, I mean, really,
dude, I'm happy with a 5. I don't care if it's the lowest 5.
We want
still
you to
a 5.
Be optimal. Now, what is your biggest concern then when we go into sustainability of that nutrition, sustainability of your movement.
Here's what's crazy. I could sustain what I'm doing right now for life.
Okay, I like that. That's a great attitude. I think your mindset is going to be your
biggest. That's because that's a five too.
Your biggest asset is your mind.
That's right.
And that's where I always start with people is actually the
I'm not a good candidate. You know why? Because dude,
you're a tough candidate, but you still could be helped.
Well, you can help me with sleep. If you can show me how to just stay asleep longer, like I don't have problems sleeping.
When I sleep,
I don't wake up. My wife wishes she was me because she wakes up when a fly goes by.
Yeah.
Like I'm dead asleep the whole time. But when I lay down, I start watching TV, boom, I'm done. Don't take me long.
You can shut it down.
Bang. And then I wake up, but here's the thing, dude, I've trained my brain to wake up in the morning and be extremely grateful. So
that's huge.
When I open my eyes, I tricked myself a long time ago into believing I just won the lottery type feeling. I want to feel enthusiastic and excited. So when I open my eyes, I think, oh my God, I get another day.
You've made like that that's a habit.
Like, correct. So I think that's why I wake up wide awake. I don't wake up groggy. I don't wake up and think, oh, I wish I could sleep some
more.
That's
energy sucking.
I know, but I wake up and boom.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm ready to roll.
Do you drink coffee?
No.
That's another great thing.
Yeah. Well, again, quiz me. Now, again, go back 3 months, bro, and I would have scored myself way different.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm going to run 10 things by you.
You want me to get Edward in here, our camera guy? He's probably a better candidate for the health compass.
Sure.
Now keep going on me.
Real quick, I'm going to run 10 things by you. Okay. You prioritize sleep and recovery, and you've made it an investment in your future self. Correct?
I would like to.
Okay. These are best practices of sleep.
Okay.
Get 30 minutes of sun exposure every day. Do you get that?
I would say yes.
Okay. Morning is best. The morning time is best.
Yeah. And again, there's days that go by that I don't.
Now, here's something that will give you some cardiovascular benefits is breathing through your nose all throughout the night. There's people that don't do this. There's people that have breathing issues because they don't breathe through their nose. And there's some...
But how do you control that? Tape your mouth shut?
You got to do some mouth tape.
Yes, yeah, I know.
But you could, if you did it for like 21 days or however long it took, you could... literally change your physiology by just taping your mouth.
You know,
this is a game changer, by the way. Yeah, if you're not breathing through your nose, bomb squad, this is huge.
You know, what's funny is somebody that follows me sent me some tape that was literally invented to put on your lips to keep you from snoring.
Yeah. There's a couple companies right now that do it.
Yeah. And like I told them I'd try it. And if I liked it, I'd say something on social media. So I taped my mouth and tried to go to sleep. Dude, I can't sit there with my mouth taped. And then when I went to take it off, dude, it was like taking tape off. I'm like, dude, I'm not promoting this product.
Somnifix is the one that you can get off Amazon. It's like $20. Here's another one. If you wanted to get possibly just a little bit more quality or longer sleep, what about the darkness in the room? Is your room completely darked out?
At nighttime, it is.
Okay, that might help you stay asleep a little bit longer. Right. It's controlling light.
Yeah,
well, like dark it out.
When it starts to get light out, I live in a glass bubble almost in the bedroom. So when it's daylight, it's daylight in my room. Okay,
that could be an answer to you. Blackout curtains. Just get that room as dark as possible. Next one is get all electronics out of the bedroom and never sleep next to your phone.
I do that every night.
Well, there's this electromagnetivity type research coming out that these cell phones and Wi-Fi is very dangerous for our
brain.
Bodies. Yeah. So getting all electronics out of the bedroom.
That's another one I can do.
The temperature of the room, 68 degrees or below.
Really? Yes. I like that, but it's usually 72.
That's too warm.
Yeah, my wife's a coldie.
There's a great book called Sleep Smarter by Sean Stevenson. Sleep Smarter by Sean Stevenson. He does a really good job of like putting all of these things out in a really cool. I got the Audible. It's really good. I tell my students about it, but that book is a good one for you. You already do this, but clear your mind before bed and have a journaling and mindfulness practice.
Yeah, I don't really do that.
You don't do the journal?
No. But I do, and I don't clear my mind. Matter of fact, I go to bed thinking about and focusing on what I want, so at nighttime, the answers come to me.
Well, I think that's the mindfulness practice. But I like that little strategy you got there. I mean, you're putting good thoughts into your brain before you're going to bed.
I'm putting questions and puzzles into my brain. The how. I'm asking, I'm trying to tap into the universal knowledge.
Hey, you're speaking my game, the right. Cosmos.
Well, you tap into it and you can get far.
I think there's energies that we don't even understand yet.
Guaranteed.
There's literally energies that we haven't even tapped into yet and we don't even know about them.
Guaranteed.
What about avoiding sugar and high fat foods before bed?
No problemo.
Now you got that down.
Yeah, like, dude, I will though, because I'm on a regimen right now. I eat 6 times a day. And because I get up at 5:30, the first time I eat is about 7:30.
Are you a macro person?
Yes. So at 7:30 I eat, and now 6, if you do every 3 hours, 10:30, boom, boom, boom. It has me my last meal at around 11 o'clock.
Is that sustainable?
Absolutely.
Okay. I know your cameraman guy.
I mean, as long as I want to be.
Yeah, I would say for the, and just generally speaking, for most people, that is really tough to do.
Like, I'll give you an example. My assistant asked me before I came in here, what about your food? Because everybody knows here, okay. My assistant, every 3 hours, bring me 40 grams of protein.
Man, you got it made here, but.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't even have to think about food, or because I don't think of it as food. I think of it as fuel. And I used to think of it as food. And if anybody out there has a weight problem, just what I did is I stopped thinking about how delicious all the delicious food was.
This behavior.
And I said, I just have to look at food as fuel. And because it boils down to one thing. You either want to be in shape or you don't.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about people that have a little weight problem because of a medical condition. I'm talking about people with a weight problem because they have a lazy ass condition. Like, they're just not willing to do the work. They like to be comfortable. They don't want to exert energy. They don't want to put force and stress and physical, you know, they don't strain. They don't like to move, mm-hmm. right? Because really, if you're out of shape right now and you eat right and start moving, you'll get in shape.
Well, I don't know what the catalyst is for everybody. Sometimes it's exercise. Sometimes exercise is the thing that makes all those other things happen. It could be mindset. It could be nutrition. If I was, like, strictly speaking, if I'm trying to get someone to lose weight, from a movement standpoint, we're lifting weights. From a nutritional standpoint, there is no one diet that fits all. I have to do assessments. I have to figure out what is going on with your gut. I would recommend maybe blood testing. I would recommend maybe gut microbiome testing.
Fecal matter. Well, you're going to be messing with the fecal matter.
Well, when the day I met you, I also met Naveen Jain.
I know, but I don't like fecal matter.
You don't like doing the
poop test? Anytime a test says here, shit in a cup, I'm like, nah, I don't need the answers to that.
Well, it provides a lot of data. And if you can prevent, which is one of the checkpoints of nutrition, you can really ward off some problems that you maybe aren't seeing.
That's a fact.
So I always look underneath the hood.
Yeah.
Look under, well, I mean,
smart people, not dumbasses like myself, would definitely take the microbiome test.
If I could get you to do it, I would say go to Viome.
Well, if you can shit for me.
The first time I sent my poop off in the mail, I was laughing my ass off when I dropped that thing in the mailbox. It was the funniest thing ever. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, the data that you get back from it, I mean, you're getting, like, here's all your proteins that you have. Here's all your vegetables that you should have. And they break it down into superfood, enjoy foods, minimize food, avoid foods. I mean, this is...
And from what I hear, dude, that could go... Like, that could make a big difference. Well,
if you have a gut issue, which a lot of people do, I mean, let's look at, look outside, go to the airport. They don't even know it. Go to the mall. I mean, holy cow, we got some major problems going on here. We got to start with the diet. Number one, we got to get better soil. Our soil's being eradicated. There's too many chemicals and poisons in our food supply, and people just have zero clue on how to eat.
If you got bad soil, you got bad roots.
Exactly.
You got bad roots, you got bad fruits. That a bomb?
Yeah, that was.
I got to give credit to my boy Garrett White. Heard him say that yesterday. Yeah, he said your roots are bad, your fruits are bad.
I don't know that guy, but that's right. That's spot on. That's pretty good.
Your roots are bad, your fruits are bad. He says if you got bad roots, because you got bad soil.
Man, there's so many angles to do it, but just getting to this health compass, so everyone knows, north is nutrition, east is exercise, west is wellness, and south is sleep. It's just an easy way for students and clients and people to understand that you can make changes with your diet if you just trust your compass. Just look down at your compass. What do you need to do? Is it nutrition? Is it exercise? Is it your mind? We got to start with the mind, though.
What do you think the benefit of someone finally figuring out this compass strategy and, you know, 10X in the improvement of their health? What kind of benefits do people get? Because sometimes I think, don't you know what'll happen if mm-hmm. someone that was out of shape got in shape? And not just you look 1,000 times better. The second you look better, dude, you know, this is a fact. The second you look better, mm-hmm. you feel better.
Yes.
The second you feel better, you'll do better.
There's some confidence thing.
So shouldn't that alone be worth doing it?
I don't know why you wouldn't do just live a healthier lifestyle.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, the mind part of it. Like, how come when I see people, and I used to be for most of my life, chubby.
They're not getting their needs met.
I think it's because deep down, they don't think they deserve it.
Yeah, one of their needs isn't being met. You know, Tony Robbins talks about the 6 human needs. You know, there's certainty, there's variety, there's significance, there's connection, there's growth, and then there's contribution. One of those needs are not being met. And it's usually in that connection or significance. Like you don't feel worth something, or there's some type of self-worth thing going on, or there's not love. Connection's love. There's 5 love languages, right? So one of those needs aren't being met, whether they're not certain, whether they don't have variety, whether they don't have growth, whether they're not contributing to anything. So one of those needs are not being met. You got to find that.
Dude, are you or were you a professor at St. Paul?
I am a professor still. I'll start in a month here with another fall semester.
So you show up there and teach?
Yeah, I teach 3 classes, mostly exercise.
When the kids come in, can you say, Bobby, take your books and go. You're being disruptive.
You know what I tell them the first day? What you're getting is a piece of paper that's not worth a thing unless you put in the work. You're getting a piece of paper. That's all a degree is. People that run around with all these degrees, and I have a lot of them, but unless you apply it, it's worth nothing. I mean, a bunch of letters behind your name don't mean anything. It's true. It's really
factual.
True. I mean, how many PhDs out there just, you know, think they're so smart, but they can't do the basics. They can't do the street smart stuff.
Well, I'd take street smarts over book smarts.
Absolutely, I would too. Yeah. Because when it all goes down, I mean, street smarts matter. Usually. Street smarts keep you alive.
Well, I mean, and keep you alive, yeah. But they also can make you rich. I think because I dropped out of school in 11th grade. People are like, what? You didn't even graduate high school? No, but that doesn't make me stupid.
Not at all.
Because as I was getting ready to quit, they were testing all of us. And, you know, I was coming in at high level testing and college level, you know, knowledge base. And like, I just dropped out of school. I wasn't stupid, but the funny thing is as I dropped out of school, most of my friends, they went to college and they did what they're supposed to do. And those college degrees landed them a job doing nothing.
There's a lot of positivity.
Land them a job at all. Yeah. Meanwhile, I went out and just started hustling. And I figured out what worked, what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And by the time they're just getting an entry level job with a degree, I was already freaking raking in the dough, hustling. And now a lot of those people work for me and they're the ones with all the degrees. Mm-hmm. It's, I always tell people, you know, I dropped out of high school, but I got 2 MBAs, 6 bachelors and I think about 14 associates. And they're like, wow, how'd you do that? I go, I just hired them.
I highly believe in educate. My motto is always be learning.
Mine too. I like that.
It really is.
I agree.
But these colleges.
Matter of fact, bro, I'll bet you I could open that door, find my signature on the wall of signatures out there, and it will say, always be thinking. You said always be learning.
Always be thinking. I like that.
Dude, mine's always be thinking, always be learning. I like that, dude. If more people would just understand that the thinking is what starts it all. It all starts with a thought. So how come you don't do more thinking?
What is it like? Your thoughts are your emotions, and your emotions are your behaviors, and your behaviors are your actions, and your actions are your results.
Something like that. But so, I think it's thought leads to emotion.
Yep.
The emotion leads to, you know, a behavior or an action. Yep. So like they connect. Well,
people
for sure.
are controlled by their emotions.
Most people.
Emotional intelligence.
Yeah. Most people, because again, I'm getting real good at removing emotions, especially when it comes to business. If someone could just remove all emotion out of business decisions, they would make quick, easy decisions all
Same
day long.
Same with the stock market.
Yeah. So you spend your day now, Chris, helping people get in shape, basically?
It's become more of the whole encompassing thing, but I'm a movement guy.
But I mean, how do you make your dough right now?
I am training. I got a lot of different things in the little hopper. You know, I'm a college professor. I got a full client load list of personal training clients. Right now I'm helping police officers and law enforcement. I'm doing a lot of workshops, teaching wellness, mostly like just movement, how to like be out of pain as a law enforcement,
Out of everyone you're teaching, approximately how many do you think knew what you were talking about and just didn't do it versus had no clue what you're talking about?
Have you ever said, I know what to do, but I'm just not doing it?
Sure.
Most people are exactly like that. They know that what I'm really dishing out a lot of times isn't like, wow, oh my God, I've never heard this. It is a lot of people going, yeah, I know. And then you show them. Don't tell them, show them a different way of doing it. And all of a sudden, wow, I need to start doing this. Like I can get people out of knee pain, hip pain, low back pain, shoulder pain. And just by showing them some basic fundamental movements.
Folks, by the way, if you got any of those pains, you can find him on Instagram at Chris Gieseking. And that's spelled GIESKING.
Yeah.
So if someone's in pain, they should call you because you can give them like,
well, go to the coach, Chris Gieseking. I got two Instagrams. I'm kind of trying to do something there. But
confuse people, apparently.
Exactly, right? But
Coach Chris Gieseking?
Coach Chris Gieseking.
Gieseking.
Yep. And that's pretty much everywhere. Gieseking. You, yeah. That was my nickname in college.
I bet.
Yeah.
Coach Gieseking.
Yeah, Coach
on
Chris.
On Instagram. Yep. Can they just DM you?
Yeah.
You got it. What's your website?
HealthCompassAcademy. Yep.
And I just say that just in case I run out of time.
Yeah.
I don't want to freaking.
Yeah.
People get pissed off when they're like, who was that? Where do you find them?
You can find me at Coach Chris Gieseking everywhere. And you can find me at the Health Compass Academy.
Now, why would I want to find you? Because I've got back pain, knee pain, aches and pains, or because I'm overweight, or both?
You want it all. You want longevity. You want to do what you're doing right now, and you want to either keep it or improve it. You know, like I love doing the nutrition thing with people. I love figuring out eat real food. Okay. I'm more of a micronutrient person rather than a macro nutrient.
Well, dude, again, maybe I said I'm a 5 in nutrition, but in reality, if an expert took a look, I'd be a 3. So let's question me about my diet and then tell me if it's a 5 or not.
All right. Number one, do you keep it simple?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know that there's no one diet that fits all?
I would assume.
Okay. Do you eat real food?
I disagree, actually. There is one. It's called a common sense diet.
Yes, thank you.
That fits
thank
all.
You. Minimally processed food when possible?
Yes.
Do you know the term metabolically flexible?
No.
Okay. So Mark Sisson... he's got a product called the Primal Kitchen. Like, I don't know. Anyway, he wrote a bunch of books called the Primal Blueprint. And his whole thing is metabolically flexible. Basically, you can burn ketones and you can burn glucose. So you can eat what you want, when you want, and you don't have a freak out. You don't, your belly doesn't, you know, bloat, or you don't have some type of issue gut wise. You're metabolically flexible, meaning that if you miss a meal, your energy doesn't drop. It's the best way to keep your blood sugar in check. Anyway, yeah. He's got a great book, but are you metabolically flexible? Is your blood sugar in check?
Yes.
Okay, good. Do you have a morning habit of drinking at least 20% of your water of your day right away in the morning?
Yes, because I'm working out. So
good.
You know, I drink about a half gallon to a gallon in the morning.
Do you eat the rainbow to ensure micronutrients in your diet?
No.
Okay.
What do you mean eat the rainbow?
I mean, when you look down at your plate of food, it's colorful.
No, like breakfast, I have like 33 grams of oatmeal.
So, okay.
And 10 egg whites. It's not very rainbowy.
Okay. Well, you got the carbs and the protein, 1-to-1 ratio, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And then like meal number two, I'll eat 6 to 8 ounces of lean 99% fat-free turkey or chicken or some shit like that.
With
a third cup of jasmine rice.
Okay. All right. You're kind of colorful.
Yeah. Again, not that colorful. And
what
then,
if we put some leafy greens on top of that? Wouldn't cost you a whole lot of calories, but it would be a little bit more nutrient dense.
Well, again, it still wouldn't be the rainbow.
Well, we can add, you know, some radishes.
I'm picturing Skittles when you say rainbow, bro. We got to be clear with the bomb squad.
Well, eat the rainbow real food. The first rule, the first principle is always, if you're going to remember one thing, eat real food. If it came from the ground, eat it. If it had a heartbeat, eat it. Okay, we got to be, I get it. But eat the rainbow is like a term within the industry that a lot of people say is just make those salads colorful.
Gotcha.
Okay, and that's going to include a lot of fruits and vegetables. So now you're getting your micronutrients. Now you got to remember that micronutrients are going to be kind of like the gauges. You get the right ratio of micronutrients, you got the right hormone production. Now you're kind of a cyborg where you just run really well and it sounds like you got really good genes. But the rest of America, they're eating processed food all the time. They're not getting these micronutrients and they're becoming sick and mostly inflamed. They got inflammation everywhere. And if you simply just change that to eating real food, eat the rainbow, so to speak, you'd clear up a lot of this stuff, generally speaking.
Diet's important.
Yes. These are five. Check out
these. So would you say I'm a five or no?
I have to observe you. I have to get your, like your food list.
Dude, I can text it to you.
I would want you to journal for a while.
No, I don't need to. I can text you.
Well, exactly.
Like
okay,
it's planned
perfect.
Out.
Yeah. Awesome.
I eat the same shit every day. I change the diet every 2 weeks or I change ingredients. So in 2 weeks, I'll have a little something, but it's basically the same. Okay. We're trying to figure out how to get me 40 grams of protein 6 times a day. Could be a protein shake one day. Could be a
how much protein
spoon
per
of peanut
day?
Butter, you know, with some sirloin, like literally like, you know, 3 ounces of avocado, you know, okay. Splash that in there. And, you know, but it's always just trying to make sure I get 40 grams of protein 6 times a day, as few calories as I can do. Cause I'm trying to obviously shed the fat and, you know, lower or healthy fats only.
Right, times six. You're getting 240 grams of protein per day.
That's right.
Okay. So how much do you weigh?
225.
All right. So you're about 1.1 per body weight, right?
I like to have a little extra.
Yeah. And that's a good recommendation right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
you have extra and just
1 gram of protein per body weight is a healthy recommendation. However, check this out. If you think that you're not getting enough protein, do this bomb squad. Take 0.4 times your body weight. Take 0.4 times your body weight. And that's the lowest. That's the lowest number of protein that you should have per day. Most people aren't getting that. Athletes need to be up around that 1 mark.
Yeah. So am I a 5?
You're doing good on the protein. You're not, I don't know. I mean, just by hearing you.
With my boy, First Form MicroPack.
Hey.
Brought to you by First Form MicroPack.
I like that company.
Andy Frisella's company.
Yes.
Dude, the MicroPack.
First Form makes beyond high quality products.
Yeah. I would endorse First Form. firstform.com.
I definitely endorse them.
Tell my boy Bomb Squad sent you. Tell my boy Andy.
I want to be one of their athletes.
Micro. Oh, yeah, dude. They got all kinds of sponsored athletes, and he's got racing teams. Like, dude, it's...
They don't have any snowboarders.
He'll do one. They need a snowboarder. Go meet him. I'll introduce you to Andy and just say, dude, but he likes to sponsor all kinds of athletes.
I'm on the track then.
So I get the vitamins from their micro pack, which is really a kind of a men's essentials.
You're doing well there.
Yeah. And I got D3 and K2.
Yep.
And you know, like, dude, I'm pretty freaking dialed.
Yeah.
And then I went and got a blood test and see all my markers, all that perfect. Shit was perfect.
Good.
Matter of fact, so perfect.
What was the lowest score? Vitamin D?
Like, no, that was the highest. Like, okay. My vitamin D is a little high, but I'll let that.
That's why your immune system's solid.
The bottom line, though, is I believe my nutrition is a 5. Now, could it be better? Yes, I could eat Orange Ruffy and reduce the calories, but guess what? I don't like Orange Ruffy, so I'm not going that extreme, and that's why it's sustainable, because I like the damn chicken. I like the sugar-free honey mustard I put on there. Now, if someone were to say, no sugar-free honey mustard, no barbecue sauce, no oil and vinegar for your cucumbers, like just,
you gotta be real, you
right
gotta,
but that's you, but that's what most people's problem is. They go on a diet,
I know,
and they're so strict, mm-hmm. they can't sustain it.
Sustainability.
And then they go back and now they're getting fat again, and they're like, dude, bullshit, yo-yo dieting. No, you went too far. You know you can lose weight if you just get to a point where you're burning more than you're taking in, mm-hmm. on a regular basis. If you're burning one calorie more than you're taking in 3,500 every day, in 3,500 days, you'd be a pound lighter.
I'll say yes and no, because not all food is equal and all calories aren't equal.
Doesn't matter.
This is
pound
why
of calories or pound of feathers is a pound of bricks. Same thing.
Fair enough. I'm just wanting people to think long-term with the micro nutrition.
Yeah, what's the micro part of it?
The mic is vitamins and minerals.
But if you take those, you know, you ever heard of CMOS?
CMOS?
Yeah.
Negative. No.
Basically, CMOS gives you 99% of all vitamins and minerals your body's ever had in it. Like, what's crazy about your body is like it matches seawater.
Yes.
Greatly. And they say,
salinity?
Yeah.
Right.
So you're basically made up of seawater. Well, and sea moss has all the natural minerals and vitamins. So when you take sea moss, it gives you every single mineral that we've lost over the years. So I do that too.
Okay.
So dude, I'm telling you, dude, I'm dialed.
Okay. Here's one for your sleep. Take magnesium before you go to bed.
I'm going to do that tonight and see what happens.
Yes.
I heard someone else say that the other day.
Yeah.
Magnesium, huh?
Magnesium is involved in about 300 metabolic functions in your body. And it's one of the most nutrient deficient minerals in our body.
Mm.
So if you were to look at like vitamin D, vitamin B6, vitamin B12, these are all like low in the normal American.
Yeah.
Magnesium is one of the higher ones. Most people are missing some level of magnesium. So putting and adding and supplementing, I'm always a food first supplementation, plant-based or food supplementation type, but magnesium would, I think, help you with that sleep, maybe get you maybe that REM and maybe that deep sleep just a little bit better.
Dude, do you mind talking to people if they DM you?
Absolutely.
So folks, listen, you got pain, you got aches, give him a call. He can show you exercises to get out of that. The health compass. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the health compass.
The health compass method. Now, again, nutrition.
Yes.
Exercise. S was sleep.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's easy to remember. And yeah. West is
wellness.
Wellness.
Your
and
mind.
Wellness is your mindset. So yeah. You work with people on their mindset.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you right now, dude, I know a lot of people. They got a messed up wellness
If
score.
We can find their needs, then we can lay down what are their core values. And once we know the core values, we can say, okay, now what are your priorities? And once we know your priorities, now we can lay down some goals.
That's interesting. That's where people need to, like,
it's that step.
That's how you get the traction.
Yes. And now that they have like those values anchored in, they can always fall back on the values. Your priorities might change throughout life. And there's lots of priorities. You have lots of different priorities, right? But if you wrote your goals based off your priorities, your goals are much more likely to happen. Because a lot of people will write a nutrition goal, but hey, you haven't even made it a priority yet.
Dude, if I'm a business owner listening to this, and I would like to have way more production at my organization, happier employees, which equal happier customers, how important is a wellness program at an organization?
Well, pretty much 500 different police officers in Minneapolis think it's pretty important.
You should be at every police station.
Oh my gosh.
If you ever see a fat cop, dude, it's like, that should be against the rules. Like if you gain too much weight as a cop, nothing against fat cops, but you know, you're going to have to exert
yourself.
These
guys need it so much.
But you should be like, you know, I would want cops that are just, you know, the biggest baddest ass mofos out there, where when they show up, dude, you do what you're told.
Any company would benefit from a healthier staff, hands down. And if that's the culture, absolutely.
That's right. So if I'm a business owner listening to this, I'm like, dude, I'm going to call Chris, get coached on that.
Go to the healthcompassacademy.com and boom.
Or maybe, you know, make it some sort of employee benefit.
Get a hold of me.
Have you coached them?
Get a hold of me. I'll help you.
Done. Well, I appreciate you coming all the way out here. Where do you live full time?
I'm in Minneapolis.
Okay. So I'm going to be heading there tonight at like 5:05.
No way.
Yeah, because there's some big concert out at Twin Cities Lake or Lake, I forget.
Lake Minnetonka?
Yes.
You're going to Minnetonka?
I'm going to Lake Minnetonka.
That is a really cool area.
Yeah. Tonight at 5:01. When do you fly out?
I'm 6 something.
Well, I'll see you in Minnetonka. Appreciate you flying all the way
Absolutely.
In. Absolutely. Folks, as always, if you got aches and pains, you better go find Coach Chris Geese King. And until next time, keep shit real.